You're listening to the Apple Insider Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is episode 14, and we discuss the latest news about Apple, iPhone, iPad, Mac, Apple Watch, of course, and more. We're recording on Thursday, April 30th, 2015. On today's episode, we're going to talk, yes, about the Apple Watch again. Our full review is out. We've spent a week with the device, and we're going to talk about that. Also, Apple's earning call and the record-breaking numbers there. Microsoft brings Visual Studio to Mac, and Windows 10 will support Objective-C. And currency, the CEO has been replaced following the news that Best Buy is going to accept Apple Pay later this year.
I'm Mikey.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Stephen Robles. And of course, we're going to talk about the watch. Our full review is out. It was posted this week. And it's long. I tried to be thorough. Obviously, there's a lot to say about it. The bottom line is I gave it 3.5 stars. We could talk about why. But I thought it was pretty clear. I mean, there's definitely some bugginess. You know, I like it. It's fun. It does some cool things, but it's not perfect. It's obviously, this is the first Apple Watch we have, you know, so it's obviously going to improve. But Mikey just got his. So before we talk about real specifics, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just set it up like literally last night, but it's not something that I can, you know, it's something that I could definitely live without. It's not something that I could see myself, you know, needing on a day-to-day basis.
And we were all living without it last week too. So it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It's not going to be a life-changing event for me. It does make a few things easier, especially with glances and the notifications and stuff. But at this point, it's just really a first-generation product. It has a lot of potential. Right. We just have to see what the developers do with that platform.
So one of my kind of the criticisms I had in the review, and people in comments and other journalists have apparently had differing experiences, but it's with Siri. One being that, hey, Siri is not as reliable as I'd like it to be as far as activating when I just say it. And also, I mean, just when it comes up. So, I mean, have your experience with Siri been different, or how has it been for you?
I haven't invoked Siri with Hey Siri yet. But when it is working, it's working, and it's pretty accurate. So, I mean, it's basically just like the iPhone. I was concerned that the mic may not pick up my voice, but it does, and it works as expected.
Yeah, and when it is listening to me, I mean, it's pretty accurate. Dictation is accurate. I wanted to use the Hey Siri more often, especially like in the car. You know, my hand's already up on the steering wheel, and you know, activate it. So again, there's been differing opinions, differing experiences. So if it works great for you, then it's not so much a complaint. I miss the audio feedback and being able to actually send a message without having to touch anything, because it won't say, hey, you're ready to send.
Yeah, that's Siri is really limited on Apple Watch right now. For instance, you can't go in and edit events and stuff.
Right.
And you can create an event like I did last night, but it went to my default calendar, and I didn't want that. So I, you know, try changing it, but of course I got the message, no, I'm sorry, Siri can't do this on Apple Watch.
Oh, like reminders. You can create reminders. You can get alerts from reminders you already have, and you can, you know, create them with Siri on the watch, but there's no reminders app to actually view your upcoming reminders on the watch. And obviously you can't edit it after you create it. So, and obviously, again, we know it's limited, it's on the watch, but still, those just little tiny things that kind of add up. And I also talked about Passbook. And some people said in the comments that, you know, if you have Passbook enabled, when you get near like a Starbucks or whatever, it is just supposed to activate. Or like you get a notification, then you should be able to just tap the notification and it'll open up the pass in Passbook. And that didn't work for me. I drove by a couple of Starbucks.
Do you have location services enabled for that on the iPhone?
I did. I double checked everything. I mean, I put alerts on full blast. I enabled location services for Starbucks and for background and all that kind of stuff. And it still didn't show up. So I'm never, and I made sure those stores were my favorites because I know you used to do that too.
I noticed that I don't know what at what frequency Apple has set Apple Watch to, you know, automatically refresh or you know, do these extraneous services like location, geolocation, tracking and all that stuff. But it seems to be pretty aggressive as far as, you know, turning off those extra features. Like,
right.
I forgot what app I was using. Anyway, whatever it was, it was tracking, I think it was tracking my location or something. And it just automatically, you know, shuts off after a set amount of time. But that time is not clear to the user. It's very, it's very vague. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. They have to do that to save battery life, obviously.
Right. I mean, and battery life has been pretty good for me. You know, in the review, I posted the first few days I was using it. But since then, I make it through a day fairly easily. You know, so that hadn't been a problem. And I actually put it on the lowest brightness, and it's still very viewable. So you could do that as well. But I don't know. I mean, you've only had it for a day, but... did you kind of run it down yesterday as you were using it?
I just plugged it in like about a minute ago.
Yeah.
It came 80% charge, kind of like all other Apple devices. And I kind of played with it around last night for a couple hours. Then I put it in my drawer because I can't leave it out charging because my cat will eat it. So I took it out this morning. It was around 23%, and I walked around with it, and it just now hit 10%. So, I mean, the battery life is pretty good.
Yeah, and you got the 42, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So supposedly it has a little better battery life. I don't know how true that is. But as far as the apps, too, you know, obviously everyone who's reviewed the Apple Watch has said, you know, third-party apps are one of the biggest weaknesses. And I haven't found... too many third-party apps that I'm really crazy about. I haven't had a chance to try Uber, which is kind of like the de facto.
I think Uber's the best. I accidentally called a car twice last night just playing with the...
Did you see the video from last week of the CNET guy who accidentally ordered an Xbox One while doing a demo?
Nice.
He was demoing the Amazon app, and it was hilarious because he got to the part about the one-touch purchase. And he said, there's a big one-touch purchase button, and then below it is the add to wish list button.
Yeah.
And he said, I have to be really careful not to touch the one-click purchase button. And so he went down below, and he said, I'm really careful not to touch this, and tapped it and added to his wish list. And then he was gesturing to say, I can't tap this other button, and while gesturing, tap the other button. And immediately ordered an Xbox One. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Genius.
It is pretty wild that the Amazon app lets you order... right from the watch with one click.
I want to know how many people are supposed to be ordering from anything from the Apple Watch.
Yeah, and I mean, with you know, the Amazon Dash button that was announced a little while ago, like it would almost make sense if the Apple Watch Amazon app was like a Dash button, like just pre-record like three products, like the If This Then That Do button, which is another app on the watch that you can get that I've used, you know, program like three Dash buttons, and like those are the only like, you know, one tap orders or something like that. Because it seems, you know, to be able to search for, you know, $1,000 product and accidentally just tap your wrist and buy it seems a little dangerous.
Go ahead.
Imagine doing the normal Amazon. I mean, for me, the normal Amazon flow is search for a broad category of thing and then read 8,000 reviews of different things only to purchase the first one you saw.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Imagine trying to accomplish that on a watch.
So the Amazon app, does it have that feature where you can automatically cancel it right away on Apple Watch, or do you have to go into the iPhone app? And
I'm pretty sure you have to go in the iPhone app.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So again, that's be careful what you search for, I guess there.
Oh, you know what other app is good is Hue's app, the Philip Hue.
Philip Hue,
You guys use,
I've heard that's good.
It's really responsive.
So it works quickly.
Pleased, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, again, there's a select few. I mean, the Slack app is actually decent. You can switch teams and.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Did you just say that the Slack app was decent on an Apple Watch? The Slack app isn't even decent on the Mac.
Uber.
Well, true. Sick but bird. I mean, for of all the messaging apps, like since I can't reply to emails on the Apple Watch, and I don't really use many other messaging third parties, like I was impressed with the first generation Slack app. Because I mean, you can switch teams with a force touch, which was not immediately evident. Kind of had to figure that out. But to reply to your mentions and direct messages, it's not bad. You know, it's pretty.
But how can you see? I guess my thing is Slack is usually pretty high volume communication. So how does that translate to a watch?
So you can't see like full channels. You basically see your mentions and you see your direct messages.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can see like your latest, if people at mentioned you, you'll see your latest those, and then you can enter any DM conversation and reply there. So it's limited, but what it can do, you know, it's fairly simple. You know, you have two buttons, direct messages, mentions, and jump into it. So not bad, not bad. Yeah, again, I think it's just like when the iPad first came out, there wasn't a whole lot of apps that really showcased what a bigger screen is for. And I think that's where the stage we're in now. I think the next few months, especially after WWDC, we're going to see more useful apps. I think the current apps are going to improve. I've been using Marco Arment's Overcast app to kind of remotely control what plays, and that's okay. It's pretty good. It's the only podcast app that has that kind of feature right now, but even he tweeted out the other day, he's going to totally rework it after actually using it on a physical watch. And again, that's what a lot of these apps, the developers did not have a watch to actually build these on, you know, leading up to the launch. So the even developers who put apps in the App Store, a lot of the third-party ones are just now seeing what their app looks like on a watch, and are going to have lots of changes. So
yeah. There's a developer that has been emailing me recently within the past 2 days, complaining about his Apple Watch order because he was one of the developers who
got
into Apple's special program that gave them the watch that no one wants.
Right.
Yeah.
The 30 was it 38 or whatever.
Yeah. Apparently, it's not shipping out for certain developers. I don't know.
Some developers tweeted at us and they did get it and others didn't. So the guarantee was not universal, apparently.
Yeah.
Now, have you used Apple Pay on it?
No, I just set up my card. I hardly use Apple Pay in my daily life anyway. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I use a couple of Walgreens and stuff like that I go through. And that is one. It seems even faster using the watch for some reason. I know, obviously, the phone is pretty quick up on its own.
Did people like give you stares?
I held it out. The Starbucks people were kind of the most shocked by it because it's the Passbook Pass. So it's just, there's the code on the watch face. So like I'm holding my arm out the window of the car and they're just kind of looking at me like, what are you doing? And I was like, can you try scanning the watch? And they're like, oh, I didn't know what you were doing. I was like, sorry. Then once they do it, like they're like, oh, that's really cool. But yeah.
Have you gotten any comments on how it looks? My girlfriend says that it makes me look pretentious, but I think that's just how I look.
You just overall pretentious.
Yeah, maybe it makes me more pretentious, I guess.
It's funny. I mean, some people. I think I feel like ladies are more likely to say something about how they like how it looks than guys. Like when guys see it, they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. But I had a couple, a guy and a girl saw it. And later that day, I saw them in the Apple Store looking at the watches. So they immediately went and wanted to know more about it. So I don't know, but not a whole lot. Less than I thought. You know, I thought more people would kind of see it and wonder about it, but it hasn't been that much.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's more on display than the iPhone, say, when you know, people first had that. But
yeah, I got questions again, all the time about the first gen iPhone. Every single time we were out somewhere, I'd be like, is that the iPhone? Right. Is that the iPhone?
Right.
Yeah. I think it's maybe because it was a whole different form factor and this is just a watch. It could be anything. There's so many watches out there.
I do want to mention Gruber actually retweeted a photo that someone mentioned him in. It's actually an old picture of Steve Jobs. Did you see that today?
Yeah.
And he has a watch pictured on his wrist. And I don't know how old the picture is. I mean, he's pretty young. So it's a long time.
It's from the 70s, I think.
And it's actually a rounded square watch face with a band, and it looks freakishly like the Apple Watch. So
you mean how Mark Newson's Shane, what was it? Was his company, his watch company?
Icepod.
Yes, just like the Icepod looks exactly like the watch.
Well, it's the band. The bands are almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Shocking.
So shocking. I do want to talk about, I will say on a positive note, I was in a meeting today, kind of like one of the big office meetings. Everyone's in the big room, as you do. And I left my phone at my desk, so all I had was my watch. And I did get a couple texts during the meeting, which it was discreet. I just felt the tap. And the canned responses actually worked with how I needed to respond to the text messages. So I was actually able to take care of it right away on the watch. And that was a convenient use case. Like that was pretty nice. You know, my phone wasn't on the table and everyone didn't see the screen light up. It was discreet, was able to deal with it. So that was a positive experience. And again, there are times like that where the notifications are convenient and being able to deal with it and not have your phone, you know, around is nice. Two things before we get off the watch. I want to mention there was the Apple Watch rollout delayed supposedly because of defective Taptic engines. There were, you know, two manufacturers were making the haptic feedback sensor, and one of them was providing faulty ones. Again, Gruber got actually a bad one in his first review unit. And so apparently there's been a couple cases of that. But and I was saying in the review, I wish the Taptic engine was actually a little stronger. And I tweeted out today, there is an option to turn on prominent haptic on the watch, which basically like gives a pretty like steady buzz or vibration and then the couple taps. And I actually like that a lot better. I don't know what your experience has been, but.
I had that on to begin with, but I think for me, the normal taps are catch my attention enough. Yeah. Maybe it's for the watch wearers that have desensitized wrists.
Maybe. Yeah, but so for those of you, if you feel like the Taptic engine is not as strong, try that prominent haptic. It's pretty good. And there was the last thing it mentioned in the review, and we'll mention it here. There was the article that the sapphire screen on the Apple Watch model, not the Sport and the Edition, obviously, decreases the display quality, or it's especially in direct sunlight when you're outside, that the sapphire reduces visibility as opposed to the Ionex glass that's on the Sport model. And I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. I mean, I've been using it for a week. I've been outside a number of times and viewing it was perfectly fine. And I never had it on the brightest setting anyway. So have you been outside with yours, Mikey? I mean, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had it and no problems with that.
Yeah. So whatever that's worth, I don't let that sway you. I do like the Consumer Reports video. I don't know if you guys saw that, but they did a scratch test on the screens of all the watches. And the Sport, you know, they rate the hardness from 0 or 1 to 10 as far as what they're scratching the screen with. And the Sport one scratched at a level of 4. And so that was an Ionex glass. And the Sapphire display actually never scratched, even on a setting of 9, which is one under the Diamond setting. They still couldn't scratch the screen. So I thought that was positive, at least for durability.
Is this on the Mohs scale?
Yes.
Did they try slamming the watch face against something, which is how sapphire watch crystals always, always, always break?
Now, did you see that video of the guy smashing his watch?
I did not.
Okay, so someone actually tweeted a video at Apple Insider, and he did that with a Sport model, not the Apple Watch.
It's cheating.
So
yeah, it really is.
But he was really slamming that watch down, and he said he showed it. It never scratched. So
if anybody's listening and they've never owned a watch with a sapphire crystal on top, they don't scratch at all. Like it's amazing. They don't scratch, but they shatter really easily. Like so, if you're like out walk, or what happens a lot to me because I live in a big city is you're walking down the sidewalk, right? And they're doing construction, and so they put up barricades like over the sidewalk to keep, you know, steel beams from falling on people. And if you're not paying attention and you move the wrong way and you slap your watch against one of the supports, you know, it's like not totally uncommon for it to shatter.
Really?
Which really pisses me off every time it happens.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of a I don't know. There's a few different recipes for Sapphire, I guess. But I think that, have you tried? Do you own any Seikos?
I don't.
Oh, you should try. Their Sapphire is really not flexible, but I mean it has that hardness, but it also has a little bit of flexibility, I guess you'd say. I've never had one of those break on me. Of course, I haven't tried to slam it against Dark Age,
so. Yeah. So that's interesting. How many times has that happened to you, Shane? Like, were you shattered?
In my watch-wearing life, 3 times.
Wow. Yeah. So, okay. So if you're working out, be careful not to slam it against a dumbbell, I guess, or
something, or against like the arm or the treadmill or whatever.
Right.
Huh. I mean, it requires like the perfect, proper, flat, you know, hit and right. slam, but it happens.
Huh. Of course, we should mention that Shane goes to work and he runs parkour. So
I do.
All right. I will say, I was telling
you.
What?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I did tell the guys my stainless steel model has a slight nick after a week's use. So for whatever that's worth, don't, you know, I think, I mean, stainless steel, it does scratch, right? I mean, that's just kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
should have gotten the DLC coded version.
I could just get a case for it.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. They have some of those. So don't get a case for it.
Are you one of those people who takes really good care of something until it gets the first nick and then doesn't care about it anymore?
I've been guilty of that in the past. I don't think I'm going to do that.
I totally am.
Yeah. I keep it pristine, and then the first sign of any compromise in the structural integrity, I throw it in a lake.
Yeah.
But I won't do that here. I won't do that here. Anyway, I think that's enough about the watch. I mean, read the review if you want to learn a lot more about it. If you have questions, you know, tweet at us and all that kind of stuff. We'll be obviously using them over the next, well, forever, how long, and so we'll have thoughts on it. But moving on from the watch, let's talk about the other big, I think a big story this week, Apple's earnings call for Q2. Some pretty impressive numbers. Mikey, did you cover this? I forget who covered it.
Yeah, we all did.
We all did. It was a team effort.
Ah, very good.
Teamwork.
Very good. And so it was 61.17 million iPhones sold, and that's a record year over year, I believe, and 13.57 billion in revenue for the quarter, and that was up from 10.22 billion a year ago. So once again, ridiculous numbers. The stock jumped the next day, of course, with all that. And pretty impressive. Again, Mac sales were actually also up. So, and that was 4.56 million units sold in the last quarter. And the one blot, I guess you could say, and that's increasingly or regularly decreasing, is the iPad sales. And it was 12.6 million units this quarter, a decrease of 23% from year over year of last year. So, I mean, this is kind of a regular thing we're seeing. iPad sales are on the downswing. And I don't know if you guys have any theories on that. I mean, I don't think it's worrisome. I do think we have yet to see what an iPad cycle looks like for the average consumer. I don't, aside from people who are really into tech, I don't know a lot of people buying iPads, like buying their second or third iPad, like since they've been out. You know, people who, you know, whether they're affluent, maybe they have new ones, but no, most people, like, I gave my parents an original iPad and they still use it. And, you know, because they browse the web and do email, like that's pretty much it. So I don't think it's really that concerning. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I don't think it is either. I totally agree with everybody who says that both the long replacement cycle and the fact that the iPhone 6 Plus exists have hurt the iPad to some degree. But I mean, it's not going to, well, eventually probably, but in the near term, it's not going to go away. There's just no reason to replace an iPad every year, every 2 years, like there is to replace your iPhone.
Right.
I would still have I kept my iPad 2 until the iPad Air came out.
Right. And a lot of people did too. I mean, a lot of people skip 2 or 3 generations if they are on their second or third one. And I have an iPad Air 2, and I mean, I love it when I get to use it, you know, for casual browsing, but it's not often. Like, it's not often where I feel like I should use my iPad for what I'm doing right now. Usually what I'm doing, if it's writing, it'd be better off on a computer or laptop. Or if I'm just trying to do something quick, usually it's better on my iPhone anyway. So it's a great device. You know, I think some people use it as their main computer, but I don't find tons of use cases for it on a regular basis still.
I think it's a leisure device, right? I mean, right. That's sort of its purpose at this point. I mean, for a lot of people, I think that's sort of its purpose at this point. There's a lot of buzz going on about, oh, you can't create content in my iPad, which is totally untrue. But while you can, I don't think that that's the majority use case. I think a lot of people use it like I use mine, which is I'm done at the end of the day. I'm closing my laptop because for me, laptop is my main tool. That's how I make my living. Right. And for me, that means work. So at the end of the day, I close my laptop, and if I still want to play a game or browse or whatever, it's on my iPad. You know, if I'm shopping for something, it's on my iPad.
Right.
So for that, you just don't have to upgrade all the time.
Mike, do you use an iPad often, or?
I used to. When the first iPad came out, I used to use that quite a bit. Then the Mini kind of took over my most of my use scenarios, which was basically playing games and, like Shane, shopping. But yeah. I don't really use it too often these days. I'm not sure why. Just kind of, you know,
yeah,
something that I just don't really need in my life right now.
Right.
My wife, for her, she still has an iPhone 5S. She hasn't upgraded yet. And she also has an iPad Mini. And for her, the iPad Mini is actually her primary computer, almost. Mm-hmm. She has a MacBook Air, too. But that is not used nearly as much as the Mini. She uses it for browsing, chatting, reading, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And my wife, too, her MacBook is pretty old. I mean, it's probably 6, maybe even 7 years old. And it was kind of degrading. And we were like, well, I could get you a new computer, but she didn't really need the power of an entire computer for just what she did. So I got her an iPad, and she actually, and again, like you're saying, she uses that a lot of the time. She actually sends MailChimps from there for her, like one of the groups that she's in. And so she does some work on there. She does some email. She has a keyboard case kind of thing. She just uses it, a few times a week, and that's been enough. So, but she has no desire to get a newer one too, because it does exactly what she needs it to.
Yeah. I think, it does also, like Shane said, come down to like the, you don't really need to buy the next generation of device when it already does basically what the last one did.
Right.
There's not really any killer apps out there that you require you to have the latest and greatest hardware. So these devices can last you 3-4 years.
Right.
Whereas, like a smartphone or like an iPhone, you may actually want to buy one every year, or every other year.
Right. Well, and you think
it's
like,
just not the way.
Like the cameras are updated.
Yeah.
The whatever new, like the Apple Pay, obviously, and Touch ID, like there's usually one or two of those big features that you want on the device you're using every day, all the time.
As far as I'm concerned, the only upgrade driving feature that has been added to the iPad since the iPad 2, I use the iPad 2 as the start of the iPad as a mature device, right? Because it had a front-facing camera and it was much thinner and not as generally awkward. But the only upgrade driving feature I have seen is Touch ID. That's the only thing that's come along that would make me say, did make me say, it's time for a new iPad.
The reason why I went to an iPad Air 2, I was using an iPad 3, which was the first Retina screen, and it was the shortest refresh rate. Basically, the iPad 3 was out the shortest. Then the iPad 4 came out just 6 months later with the Lightning cable and a faster processor. And the iPad 3 was pretty much the only model, aside from the one, that was just really slow because the processor was underpowered for doing the Retina screen, I feel. So going from that to any newer model iPad was a world of difference. And actually the iPad 2 was a little faster because it wasn't having to push all those pixels. So for that one model, I feel like getting off of that was a big difference as far as processing power. But again, for what I was fine, I used it for like 2 years and it was fine too, because I just,
stuff. Yeah. I mean, the one that you're talking about, the first Retina, they didn't the what was that the a
six
wasn't the a six wasn't the a
well, I'm trying to think the a5 was the original
iPad. A5X, I believe.
That sounds right.
I don't know, but wasn't it rendering the screen in two parts? because it couldn't handle the entire Retina display at one time.
That sounds like it might be true. It was A5X. You're right there.
Yeah, and weren't people experiencing like a screen wobble kind of thing because they were?
Yeah,
I remember that one.
My 3 also had the yellow leakage from the top or whatever, like under the screen.
Did it go away? It was supposed to be a curing agent, right?
Yeah, it wasn't the glue. It was a light leak. Like, you could, like, see in between. So.
Oh, I had a problem with that with my first iPad, the first gen iPad.
Right.
I remember going into the Apple store and the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I made him come under one of the tables with me and prove to him that it was, there were these like streaks. And I said, I've never seen that before.
That's funny. I brought mine in too with that, and he was like, they had just come out, the iPad 3s, and he was like, listen, I can get you a new one, but it might have the same light leak, and it might be worse than yours is now. So I was like, I'll just keep it.
Well, I will say, which is kind of weird because I wouldn't notice that on a Mac, I don't think, but on an iPad, since I used to use it when I was in bed,
right?
It's much more prominent. When,
I will say a quick a funny story. I do a lot of video production, like live video, and we have like Blackmagic cameras and Blackmagic interfaces and stuff like that. And we were using these Thunderbolt things, and we had some MacBooks that we were trying to incorporate in this live setup, and the MacBooks kept crashing whenever we plugged in these Thunderbolt accessories. And so we made a Genius Bar appointment. And we literally went in with like huge racks of stuff and these MacBooks. And people were looking at us like crazy. And we went up to the Genius Bar and we were like, can we set this up? And they let us basically take over a table and we set up all this live production equipment, and they helped us through it. I mean, they actually walked us through. So kudos on them. But anyway, the last thing we'll segue in the earnings call was Tim Cook announced that Best Buy is going to start offering Apple Pay in the app. And later this year, they're going to accept Apple Pay in the store, which is obviously in the face of they were going to be currency only, the consortium, the competitor to Apple Pay, MCX. They were going to be MCX only, but they're going to accept Apple Pay later this year. And right after that announcement, the CEO of MCX was ousted, and they named, shocking, and they named an interim CEO, which is Brian V. Mooney. As hopefully to take over and turn things around. So, I think that's a sign of things to come. I think Best Buy is one of the big names that were, incorporated with MCX.
Well, the Decker's guy, the former CEO, when currency first, hit the headlines with after CVS and Rite Aid pulled support for Apple Pay, he was really pro currency and their policies and stuff. But then later, I think he pretty quickly backtracked and said that, it's going to be an exclusive only for a limited time.
Right.
And then, we're going to, they'll open up the stores to other systems. And then he went quiet for a while. And I guess there's been some discussions, some backroom discussions about, what's best. Well, but I mean, I don't know. It's not like Apple Pay is making or breaking certain stores yet.
No, but looking at currency, I mean, when it actually does come out, it's still going to be a pain in the neck to use. I mean,
I think it's going to be dead on arrival, but...
Yeah. The QR codes and having people to register an actual checking account as opposed to a credit card, I think it's going to be off-putting for a lot of people. And, I've seen a lot of the stores, like supermarkets and retail stores in my area, replacing their point-of-sale systems to accept the chip and PIN, which is going to be kind of standard later this year for credit
chip
cards.
Chip and signature.
Chip and signature. Yeah, thank you. And so I see them all, and some of the stores, it's the exact same model of the point-of-sale system, and some of them have Apple Pay enabled, and some of them don't. So I know basically every store is going to have a system capable of NFC, and it's just a matter of whether they're going to allow it in their stores. And I think I'm sure it'll come to a head, and it'll be widespread that they'll be able to accept Apple Pay, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all down to the processors. If the merchant wants to accept Apple Pay and their processor accepts it, then there's no There's no extra Apple Pay related stuff, right? It's all standard.
Right, it's standard.
They've got NFC terminals, and they say, okay, we'll do Apple Pay. It's not like they have to do anything else. I think that's getting to that point, the point where everybody is equipped with NFC and they're comfortable with doing contactless payments, is the hard part.
Right. So that was the big news there this week.
Before we move off of the earnings call, could we just take a second? We're recording this at, it's 5:53 now on Thursday.
Yep.
And Apple was down almost $3.50 today for reasons passing understanding.
Well, it's all the it's all the shorts.
61 million iPhones, profit up 30% year over year. It's the world's biggest company, growing at double digit rates. And it's down.
They cannot. They've reached their peak. It's all downhill from here. There's nowhere to go but down.
You can't get an Apple Watch because they're sold out till June. it hit 130, I believe, a couple days ago.
Yeah, it closed at 125.15 today.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I don't know what they need to do to prove themselves. But how much? Let me see. How they have the money in the bank. Is ridiculous. It's $194 billion in cash.
Did you see the analyst who was? I just lost that train of thought. Okay. Did you see the analyst who was complaining about Luca Maestri, and said that Apple should the reason Apple's not trading at a better multiple is because of him. And that the only way to restore Apple to its rightful place among corporations is to fire him and rehire Fred Anderson.
Wow.
Great. Good stuff.
That happened.
Who is this? Who is it?
The global equities guy who's insane.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't. Wow.
His argument was that he called it the borrow and squander strategy that Maestri inherited from Peter Oppenheimer has depleted Apple's U.S. cash reserves.
And depleted?
Shaken. That was terrible. Shaken investors' confidence. And so we must fire him and replace him with a guy who resigned in disgrace after a backdating scandal.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do? All huge corporations borrow to boost their stock. What are they? That's just what they do. There's not much clever accounting you can pull when you're at that level.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll ignore the fact that they would get taxed at the, as Clayton Christensen would say, out the gazoo if they brought cash back from overseas.
Right.
Well, I mean, Tim Cook can find that money in his Levi's pockets,
right,
hanging in his closet.
It is $171 billion of it is offshore, yeah, of 171 out of 194. So,
well, I guess technically it's in New York, but
well, yeah,
it's owned by offshore companies,
right?
It's funny that I don't know if anyone's going to spin it this way, but Apple is going to be paying. Since they did this, once, since other companies do this, it could potentially be a huge windfall for the EU, right? But that money could have been America's in the US coffers, as it were, if they repatriated it earlier, or just, you know, simply assigned their patents to the main office.
Mm, yeah.
So I wonder when the naysayers are going to come out saying that Apple is anti-American because they cost.
They already have been, man. It's years. Well, every company that turns a profit and does business overseas is anti-American for not repatriating their Apple money and paying 30%.
Apple is spending almost $1 billion building a solar farm in the United States, and they just spent 300 and something million buying forest in the United States.
That is not enough. They have to cancel our deficit. Come on.
They're spending $2 billion, not $1 billion, but $2 billion on new data centers in Europe, and they have a new solar farm in China.
Yeah. Well, isn't the Mac Pro still manufactured here in the States? I mean,
partially.
Okay.
It's assembled.
It's assembled here. Okay. Well, anyway, before we go, run along, the last thing I want to talk about was Microsoft Build is going on right now, and they had the big Windows 10 announcements. A couple interesting ones. Objective-C, which is the programming language largely that iOS apps have been built on. Of course, now we have Swift, but they're saying Objective-C, you can now, and Windows 10 is going to support it, quote-unquote, and basically iOS developers can take their Objective-C code and easily compile it to become a Windows app. And also Visual Studio, which is Microsoft's development software, is coming to the Mac. So you can develop Windows apps in Visual Studio on the Mac, which is interesting. And not only iOS, but Windows also said Android developers, they can, again, port their apps back and forth easily, quote unquote. And I don't know, we ported apps, you can always tell when an app is kind of ported for multiple operating systems. So I don't know how this is going to, it may get Windows more apps. I don't know why iOS developers would be motivated to do that. I mean, unless they just want, I don't know, more exposure, but I don't know if
you guys... What about Minecraft? Like a real Minecraft?
Well, but that was, I mean, that's, I don't know if that's built in something that they can then port to Mac or iOS.
I have two notes on interesting stories that came out of these announcements.
Sure.
The first is actually, to me, the more interesting story is that they are moving forward with the strategy of using your phone as a computer. Did you see that?
Yes, that is true.
So that's going to be totally awesome. I'm on board. And if they can actually pull it off and make it worthwhile, I will sell all of my Apple equipment and go.
Now, this
found Microsoft Insider.
You know, this was done before.
It's been tried many times, but it's never been done in a way that actually is feasible.
Right. And it did, if you look at the screenshots for Windows 10, a lot of the interfaces just look like phone apps, like phone screens and phone interfaces, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I think it looks better than some of Microsoft's previous UIs. But it is very much, you know, just looks like a bunch of phone stuff happening on
some
the desktop.
Some of the stuff they showed wasn't bad, though. Their office apps, like PowerPoint, looked really good.
Okay. I did think the Edge, that Microsoft announced that Edge is going to be the new browser that's going to be replacing Internet Explorer. I think the logo is kind of ridiculous because it looks suspiciously like the E for Internet Explorer. But hey, and it's same color, same, I don't know, Edge, they had to stay with the E, I guess, Explorer and Edge, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. But
they're turning into Ford. They're going to name all their web browsers starts with the letter E.
So
my second story that came out of that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Really quick.
Go. Yeah, go ahead.
Was after the event, a wire service story came out. And you know, wire service stories just propagate all over the place immediately. Mm-hmm. And the wire service story contained a sentence in which it said, Microsoft also announced something called Objective-C.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did see someone tweet that out. And it
was everywhere.
Yeah, that was... That's amazing.
Power of hit-and-run journalism.
That's pretty bad.
Those interns have to be used some way, right?
Yeah, I guess. All right. So that's the news for the week. Again, tweet at us if you have questions about the Apple Watch or anything else that we talked about this week. Mikey, where can people find you on the internet?
On Twitter's, MikeyCampbell81.
And, of course, on Apple Insider. And Shane?
As always, I am on Apple Insider.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Stephen Robles and follow us at Apple Insider. Again, tweet us questions, comments, things you'd like to hear on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Also, don't forget to rate us and leave us a comment in the iTunes store. You can find the link in the post. And of course, you can comment on the post or email news@appleinsider.com to let us know comments and questions and all that kind of stuff. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch you next week.